Escape, the Abominable Snowman, September 13th, 1953. Tired of everyday routine, ever dream of a life of romantic adventure, want to get away from it all, we offer you escape. You are high in the frozen slopes of a great mountain, terrified and caught in a blizzard. The thing with which you've been hunting has suddenly become the hunter. If it finds you, then for you, your companions, there will be no escape. Paul, now your first bit of luck was when High Shepherd Guide no song. That was in the jingling. They found no song that we were after. When I told him the song what we were after, hesitated for a moment, he said, no song, the suburbs have come to claim Shalomoma. Paul, no, we are a little late for that. Already done, been done. There were two suburbs and myself, I hear, reason I told you. Namsong. Motokami? Paul, that's right. Namsong, that's suburbs. Always hired me to climb the mountain with them. But, never this. Paul, are you afraid of them? Namsong, I have seen one. Paul, you've seen one? Namsong, yes, many of us seen them. Chair. Paul, back. Footsteps that begin on half floor. Paul, wait a minute. Footsteps across floor. Paul opens. Paul, Alan? Alan, yeah, what's up? Paul, I'm interviewing a shepherd here. He says he's seen one of the things. Where's Frank? Alan went out to get some tobacco. Oh, come on, Paul, come in. I think this is our man. Alan, all right. Footsteps, door closes, footsteps. Paul, Nansong, this is Mr. Ferris. Alan, hello, Nansong. Nansong, hello. Paul Nansong has telling me about we've seen, go ahead, Nansong. Nansong, it has a face that is evil. When we saw me, it uttered a strange cry and bounded away, sometimes leaping, sometimes running. With great strides, it was dusk. At a moment, I lost sight of it in the snow. Paul, where were you? Nansong, with a French expedition. It was at 19,000 feet on Shamaloma. Alan whistles, how far were you? Were you from it? Namsong, 30 feet, perhaps 35. Paul, you sure it was an ape? No, I am sure. There is no ape in Illumina to make such a track. Alan, what about bears? Namsong, this too. I've been asked, nor does a bear walk always upon its hind, but does a bear always walk on its hind legs? Paul, well, that's enough for me. Paul's Alan? Alan, yeah, you do. Paul, well, if you want the job, Nansong, you're hired. Nansong, are you going to try to capture a yeti? Paul, yes, Nansong. It would be a difficult thing. Paul's, but I will serve you. Paul, yeti, wild men. Men have been abominable snowmen. That's the name the natives had for these things. And Alan Ferris, Davis and I were going to try to get one. We all done some climbing. The climbing was secondary here. As it is since the beginning of the 12th century, had heard the abominable snowmen, observed their tracks, and one or two white men claimed to have seen them. Great ape, bear, monkey, wild man. We didn't know, but we're going to find out. 4 weeks later, we're in the Rang Rock Valley for our interview monastery with the Lama. Journey. Our base has been uneventful. The weather was good. Our spirits are high. From the Lama's window, you can see the great peak of Everest in the distance. Lama, why, gentlemen, do you desire to capture Mantukshi me? Paul, because, sir, we believe we will be valuable to a prehistoric research. That is, if these things anyway human. Lama, and for this reason, you have formed the expedition, Paul, yes. Lama, you are familiar with climbing? Paul, yes, we are. Lama, you would need to be. Yet he moves at high places, strange places, so my people tell me. Also, the monsoons are arriving, short time. Paul, I understand that. Paul, then we have your permission to investigate the valley and beyond. Lama, you have my permission now. Alan, we appreciate it. Lama, there is one point over. I must quit that no animal being in this valley be shot. Religion does not allow it. Paul, we respect your wishes, sir. Now, may I ask you one more thing? Lama, of course, my son. Paul, do you believe in the existence of Manukuskori? Lama, I myself have never seen them. I know they live here, above the valley, on the goddess mother of the world. It is so true that perhaps five, possibly more, inhabit the upper Rembok, its glaciers. Paul, thank you. Lama, do you have porters? And our guide, Namso, is hiring them now. Lama, I trust that he meets you with good fortune. Paul, the old man with great dignity bowed slightly to us. We were dismissed. I thought I saw the shadow of a smile on his lips. He turned away. It wasn't long before I found out. Namso returned to us. Our quarters and his face warned of bad news. Namso, sir, unable to hire any porters. Paul, but why not? Namso, they know the purpose of their expedition. They will not go. And why? Namso, they are afraid. I don't know, is that a snowman? Namso, yes. They live in peace with them. They wish no trouble, they are afraid. Paul, well, it's all right to be rough. They can't waste time talking them into it. Well, soon we'll be coming into a couple of weeks. Not the same as climbing Everest. It'll be like trouble like just the four of us. Set up base and start hunting. All right, with you fellas? Voices, yeah, sure, okay. Paul, no, sir? No, sir, I'll go with you. I'm not afraid. Paul, good. Scraping a chair, footsteps on floor. Paul, now let's take a good look at the map. Footsteps continue. Map unfolding. Paul, now we reach carry. Each carrying capacity load. We should be able to make this point below the glacier in 4 to 2 days. 16,000 feet. By a vulnerable snowman or in this vicinity. Got 2 weeks to find them. Frank, and well, when do we start? Paul, tomorrow. Oh, good. Paul, well, Sam, rolling on up, mate. Frank, or Paul? Paul, yes, Frank. Frank, one thing. What do natives mean when they say they don't want any trouble with things? Paul, oh, suspicion, probably. I said, oh, no, sir. Not suspicion. It's because the natives are cannibals. That's why the porters were afraid. Paul, the weather turned ugly the day we left the village. A cold Tibetan wind blew down from the west. With our heavy sacks, it took us much longer than we thought to arrive at the point just below the Rembok glacier. Then wind begins. We set our camp and made ourselves as comfortable as we could. Next morning wasn't so bad. Heavy overcast, but promised of snow. Peak Everest looming over us, was shrouded in clouds. The four of us sat in our tent, looking at our charts and drinking hot tea. Tea cup, spoon, pouring. Frank, I figure it would be easiest if we started off at each glacier. About 3 miles from here, with the weather sinking as it is, we wouldn't run too much of a risk. What do you think, Paul? Paul, well, that sounds all right. What do you say we split up drinking? Ah, you know, Tom, Alan and me. We'll work up on the other side of the ridge. Here, map sounds. As if we spot any tracks, fire 2 shots, sir. Frank, yeah, good enough. Paul, and the big thing, no matter what, don't shoot at the thing. You do see it. Okay, Frank, okay. Paul, all right. If we lose touch of each other, we meet back here at 5. All right, let's get going. That wind, which soon increases. Paul, we left the base at 6 in the morning. A going was rough. Adam was pretty well shot by the time we got to the 17,000 foot mark. He's having a tough time breathing. Wind had come up again, and with it, fine, powdery snow blinded and choked us. Heavy wind now, men breathe the hard grass hard. Footprints of crunchy snow, Adam. Hey, I've got to take 5. Paul, all right. Here, move over here. It might cut some wind. Heavy wind. Oh, he struggles with footsteps of snow. Alan, whoa, that's better. Alan, Paul, well, we might as well start back for the base. We can't see anything, Alan, right now. Don't care whether we do or not. Paul, this is good weather. Wait until the moon soon start. Alan, no, not me. Got cold, I've never been so cold in my life. Lighter wind, Paul. We stayed in half shelter of an overhang for 10 minutes. The wind was quiet and the snow had let up. I noticed the tracks we had made coming up, coming to shelter were now gone now. We didn't have any worry finding our way back. Figured out Frank and Emson pretty much the same thing on their side of the ridge. We met them on the base, so Alan and I picked ourselves up and started off. We ended up snow crushing Alan. Really struggling, boy, I thought a pretty good shape, but up here, boy, I'm not. Paul, I'm tired again. But well, we just take it easy going down. And all right, Paul, you haven't got frostbite, have you? Paul, no, not yet, but, Paul, what? Alan, to the left, there. Paul, where? Alan, there. They're not our tracks, are they? Paul, not unless you've took your boats off on the way up. Alan, must just pass by. Must have seen us. Paul, yeah, come on. Paul, we were looking at the set of tracks nearly made. Rest of the fresh snow. We passed so close to our shelter. Thing must have known us. We were there. It wasn't the tracks of a bear or an ape, more than a spray-footed naked foot. The tracks of a vulnerable snowman. Began to follow the tracks for a while, perhaps 150 yards. It was easy. Then the thing made a leftward transverse down a boat slope. I could see the prints clearly, angling with a sidestep and sure-footed, a manly goat set, a mixed walking on two legs. Wind, footsteps in snow, Alan. This way, Paul. Paul, take it easy, Alan. Alan getting sleepier. Boy, that thing could be climb. Paul, hold on. Alan, hold it. Alan, think that bird-clothing yell, he falls into deep canyon. Paul, as he dropped out of sight over the lip of the caress. We weren't roped together. Paul showed me I was as close as dead to the edge. Loose snow crumbled away from my outstretched body. I looked down at the blue bank darkness below, falling away to nothingness. He was gone, finished. All I could think of was the noise he made. He went over, surprised, angry. In silence, the crevasse might have been 500 feet to 5,000. Snow started to fall again, big flakes this time, and wet. I stood up across the gap, 20 feet away. I saw the tracks of the thing continuing on and away until they became lost in the bank. Wetness of glacier. It jumped and landed, still upright at the opposite side. Went back to the base, and an hour later, Frank and himself turned. I told them, we were quiet for a long time then. Frank, Paul, we're going out again tomorrow? Paul, we're not. Frank, I just wondered, Nemson, we should go back. It is an omen. Paul, somewhat falsely, I tell you, he was going too fast. He didn't have a chance to see the crevasse. It's not an omen, it's dead sense. Nemson, menacing, cannot be caught. Paul, we'll catch him. Paul, yeah, there's only three of us. If we had more men... Paul, still somewhat falsely, I tell you. Thing was so close we hadn't looked up at the time. You've seen it. Do you think I'm going to give up now? Next time we'll get it, Frank, quietly. There was no chance to get out of there. Paul, no. Frank, do you think if we went back, we... Paul, more falsely, listen. You think I want to? He's gone, I'm tired, but he's gone. Frank, okay, Paul, okay. Wish the wind would let up. Paul, maybe by the morning. We try again tomorrow. Paul, it was cold that night, and somehow colder because Alan was gone. I heard Frank tossing round and knew he was thinking about a body broken and lonely, lost somewhere in a deep, dark place. In the morning, the three of us packed our gear, camera, food. It was a long, light pack. We started up again, this time the crest above the ridge, struggling some. It was tougher than it looked. We weren't even halfway up before we had to rest. Wind increasing some. As I looked at the west, I saw clouds boiling up, not white but somber, threatening, and below the valley looked grim, ugly, grey. And then the sun was gone, and we kept on going, and I had a strange feeling I could see nothing, I could hear, only sensation of being watched and followed. No crutching out breath. Paul out of breath. Wait a minute. Nelson, see something? Paul, nah. Also, I have felt it too, suburb. Paul, something following us? Also, yes. It is the moat cooks keep me. Paul, how do you know? Also, it could not be something else. This hive. There's nothing else that lives here. Paul, maybe it's a curious. Shut me now. No, don't turn around. Listen. When we get out of the crest, you two flop down. Stay in sight of the slope here. Frank, what are you going to do? Paul, move closer to the hump and watch. If it thinks we're all together, it may come close enough to give us a chance to get it all. Get it. Frank, you better watch your step. Looks nasty. Paul, I will. Now, come on. Paul, it took us another 50 minutes to get up the crest. When? Paul? Frank? And then some hunched down to rest. There's a clear view of the slope we just ascended. I moved back out of sight and made my way toward the hump, which backed a long shelf on the north side of the crest. A couple of minutes, I lost sight of them, with the slope and the wind and the crease and the clouds spread out now, becoming a grey calabri over the mountain, getting colder again. I didn't think it took 5 minutes to reach my looking point. Then I did. The perfect view of the ground as we covered. There was nothing there. The men were out of sight. I waited a minute, two, there was nothing. And all of a sudden, wild animal distance, gunshots, more animal cries. It came, carried on the wind, crying, and shots that scrambled back to where I left them. And when I got there, Frank was lying back, couldn't look at what was left of his face. Terrible, deep rip in his clothing. He was dead. Running for Nelson lay huddled at his feet beyond a gun in his hand, Nelson. Weak and great pain and Paul, Nemson, what is it there? What? Nemson, out of me, struggling, came from behind me. Before I got hold of the gun, it killed him. It sprang at me. It's strong, Saba, with the strength of 10 men. Paul, all right, can you sit up? Nemson, my leg is broken. I shot at it, but I missed. It jumped away. It was gone. I was gone. Paul. We're 4 hours from camp. Now some practically helpless. It could help well be 4 days or never. I buried Frank while he was lying. Then began to work down the slope. Now some was in great pain. He left, slid and crawled the best he could. And part of it wasn't too bad. Then we're at the bottom and there was a ledge to the climb. It took well over 2 hours to do that. We still had 3 miles of difficult terrain to cover. The start became more frequent. No, son. Anyway, George, Sabah, leave me here. Go back. Paul, no, son. My leg is frozen. No feeling anymore. Adolf should not leave much longer. Paul, demanding. Don't be a fool. Another rest. Be able to go on, no, son. Soon, the night hand comes. We're both caught here. We both die. There'll be snow. Much snow, leave me. Paul, no. We're going back together. No, son, please, let me sleep. Let me sleep here. I cannot go on. Paul, we must go. We've got to, Nelson. Nelson, no more. Paul, but the ridge is only about 1/2 mile. From there is there. It won't be too bad. Nelson, no, let me stay. Paul, Nelson, let me sleep. Paul, slapping his face repeatedly. No, come on, Nelson. Come on, you're not going to sleep. Be all right, Nelson, said Bab. Look here. Paul, what? I turned and from an instant saw it outlined against the snow, crouching at medium height. It was covered with thick hair. A face as reddish and bare, semi-human face. It was not an ape. The thing made a tremendous leap and was gone. Then I hit it. I knew I hit it. Nomsong, men and Nagomi. Why does he? Did you kill it? Well, no, I don't think so. Nelson, then do it back. It has tasted blood. You must leave me. Well, no, get up. Get up now. Come on, let's go. Great, Nelson, a great name. Paul Nelson. I said, I am very sorry, Sabah. Will you ask your Lama to give you make prayer for me? Paul, sure. I will, Nelson, but Nelson, say goodbye to my wife. Belinjing. I'm sorry, Sabah. I die. Paul, Nelson. No, son. Paul, and the darkness came, and with its shadows in the snow, every hillock mound before came thing motionless waiting. Mine, I kept seeing its powerful alarm, the dreaded clawful claws I might have possessed. I carried my gun, my gloved hand, but I knew I couldn't fight unless I was boy-handed. I meant my hand would freeze to the gun, and suddenly I felt myself slipping. With a short incline, when I reached the bottom, the gun was gone, I lost it, dragging his nose searching. Paul, into panic, got to find it. And I saw a glint of metal in the snow, 10 feet away, and at the same time, above me on top of the bank, the thing, it stood swaying, they were looking down at me. Wind. I moved slowly, inched my way towards the gun. So I drew closer, I kept my eyes looking up. I didn't move, they only stared down at me. I thought that I saw its little eyes glinting. I thought it was a gun frozen then. It's frozen, doesn't fire. Struggling, I was nearer to it, near enough to take off my glove. But that moment in which I had to friend picking up, and when it could leap down at me, turn my throat up, tear and movement to slow. A gun, I pulled the trigger. Click, click, bang. Followed by his blood-stained scream and wind. For 2-3 beats, Paul, it lay there, strange, terrifying, blood staying in the snow. Deep, guttural animal sound. Paul, it looked at me. Loud, a grunt of sound continued to look at me. Till the sound died away. Wind only heard by 5 beats. Paul, it was dead. But the eyes kept on staring. Paul, it must have been the shots that loosened the snow. Ice and ledge above. Heard the sound, I ran. Paul, it passed me and swept on towards the valley, and thunder of it dying in the distance. And then I went back, there was nothing there. It was buried somewhere under tons of snow. I made my way back to Redknock Village. I don't remember how. I didn't remember anything for 2 weeks after. I am alive. I'm not going back there again. That's all I know or want to know about this abominable snowman.